How many of you remember what we talked about last week? What did I have you do right off the bat last week? What did I have you say to your neighbor? You're awesome, or you're amazing, or whatever it was. Something like that, right? Okay. Turn to Genesis 1:1. I want to follow up on last week's message about how amazing you are. Last week we talked about how you're all that in a bag of chips. Well, you're more than all that in a bag of chips. You're all that, a bag of chips and a Powerade is what you are. How many of you ever drank Powerade? Okay, some of you. Yeah, I just want to talk to you today and just encourage you and remind you. I think I've told you this before, but you are more powerful than you think. Every human on the planet is more powerful than they realize. Some of you are thinking, I don't know what to think about that. That's okay. So, yeah, get to Genesis 1:1. But I want to give you 5 dad jokes this morning, all wrapped around your watch, clock, phone, where you see your time, all wrapped around time. So these are dad jokes. You're allowed to guess. I want you to guess. I want to see how many of these you can guess. All right? What does a clock do when it's hungry? Goes back for seconds. Yeah. Okay. And they get worse. Why didn't the clock work? Why didn't the clock work? It needed a hand. What? Somebody will get this one. What time does a duck wake up? At the quack of dawn. There we go. See? Ding, 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 ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Yeah, well, no, she's just had to put up with it, you know? What can I say? How do you know if your croc, if your croc, how do you know if your clock is crazy? Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo. We just hung up our cuckoo clock yesterday. We have one. Yeah, it's fitting. And this is just a one-liner. This isn't one where you can actually answer, but my boss told me to have a good day. So I went home. Yeah. Most, if not all of you, know that when someone says to me, have a good day, I always respond with, it's unavoidable. Right? You've heard me say that. And I've gotten really good at I just try to make somebody's day better. You know, I joke about it. Sometimes I'll say, it's unavoidable. God made this day and he made it good. If it's messed up, it'll probably be my fault. And people laugh. And we sometimes get in little conversations because I say that. They kind of like, sometimes they look at me with surprise. They're surprised. But, you know, every day is actually good. There is good in every day. And sometimes we have to look and find it. And so last week, I was talking to you about it being amazing. I just wondered, did you shine this week at all? Did you try to shine and make somebody's day? Did you try to encourage somebody? I want to encourage you. You are powerful. You have the power to change somebody's day. Maybe just quoting a scripture or part of a scripture to them. Maybe just encouraging them. Maybe just tell them that God loves them. Maybe asking if you can pray for some kind of blessing. There's opportunity out there. Yeah, occasionally. I've had probably let's just take the last 3 months, I've probably had one, I think, person who responded negatively. I think she said something like, don't try that religious stuff on me. Well, okay then. Have a bad day. Go ahead. Sorry. I'm going to have you start with Genesis 1:1. Some of you have turned there. If you haven't turned there, grab a Bible out of your pew. I should have said that earlier. You might want to follow along because I'm going to read and I'm going to be looking down a lot. Sorry for the people out and watching via streaming, But I have to focus when I'm reading because I'm as never a good, you know, I try to do this thing where you read and then I get lost when I look back down. Anyway, here we are, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, everybody say, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, everybody say it, let there be a vault between the waters to separate the water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening and there was morning, the second day. And God said, okay, keep doing this, yeah. Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and gathered the water, and the gathered waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then, yeah, God keeps saying stuff. Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants and seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. So we now have God saying something four times in 3 days. Just for the fun of it. Verse 14, and God said, okay, there you go, let there be light, or let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, yeah, let's keep this in. Let the water teem with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea with every living thing with which the waters teemed and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said, oh, there he is again, be fruitful and increase in number in the water and in the seas, and the birds increase on the earth. And there was evening and there was morning, the fifth day. Here we are, verse 24. And God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that once moved along the ground, and the creatures that move along the ground, excuse me, and the wild animals, each according to each kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make mankind in our image and in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish of the sea and of the birds of the sky and over the livestock and over all the wild animals, over all the living creatures that move along the ground. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them. Male and female created he them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground. And God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit in it, fruit with seed in it, and they will be yours for food. And all of the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every plant for food, green plant for food. And it was so. And God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And there you have it. I don't usually read whole chapters, but there you go. I did it. Yay! Here's the thing. When God declares something, it happens. Did you notice that? God says, and when God says, it happens. There's no stopping what God says. If God says something, then it's a done deal. Do you believe that? I do. I believe when God declares something, it will come to pass. The way God set things up. He spoke everything that was into being. So there was nothing. And then God said, let there be light. Boom. There was light. And nothing could keep the light from coming. How many of you ever wake up in the morning and wish the light would not come? We were up a little later than we planned last night. Our day just got kind of nuts yesterday. And in the evening, Lisa's like, I still haven't gotten to the store to get stuff. I said, well, go. Yeah, but I haven't taken a shower yet. That stinks. But anyway, you know, you didn't need to go. And she's like, I'm going to take a shower first. And I, well, by the time she, you know, it was just one of those days. We just had a lot of stuff going on. Our family came, and we had our grandson, Smith, overnight, Friday into Saturday, and we thought his parents were going to come get him early. We were just praying that, no, just he can be a lot of fun, but he's a busy little guy. But, you know, they didn't get there until well after lunch, and everything got messed up, and we had plans, and our plans didn't work, and so it was one of those crazy days. And I've had a lot of days. This morning, I was pretty comfortable, but I could have slept 45 minutes to an hour longer without any complaints. You ever have that happen? But God said, and the sun comes up, and the cycles of what God has created have gone on and on and on, and nothing's stopping them. So tomorrow's coming, and tomorrow's unavoidable. There's that unavoidable thing that I like to talk about. Tomorrow's unavoidable. So as I read through this chapter, I noticed that God declared several other things. And I was thinking specifically, what did God declare about you? I'm talking about you. Look at your neighbor and tell him he's talking about you. Talking about you. What did God declare about you? Well, it's interesting. I noted that God declared that you would be fruitful and multiply. Well, you're thinking, well, yeah, I had some kids, but maybe not as many as I wanted or more than I really wanted. Whatever, you know, depends on how that goes. No, but that's not all that God's talking about there. See, sometimes we just read that and we get it stuck in our head. Oh, well, you know, I had children. Yeah, you know, I had children. Most people have children, and then their children grow up and have children, and their children grow up having children. And that's all part of it. But actually, you are going to be fruitful. And it's as unavoidable as the sunrise. Really? I think I can convince you that it's true. Because when God spoke, he set into motion an unavoidable reality for every single person on the planet. And I believe every person on the planet, whether they plan to or not, are going to be fruitful. And they're going to make more of something. See, our lives matter. All of our lives matter. And we all are being fruitful. We're all bringing an increase of something. The question is not, will we be fruitful? It's what kind of fruit will we bear? Oh. That puts a whole different tack on it, doesn't it? What kind of fruit will we bring forth? Every day, I believe everyone is bearing fruit. Every day, I believe everyone is bringing an increase of something. So let me read a verse to you. Matthew 12 and verse 33 says, make a good tree Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognized by its fruit. How many of you know a few fruity people out there? Yeah? How many of you have some fruity relatives? Yeah. Yeah. Some of you have relatives that are just Fruit Loops. I mean, they're the whole thing. They inspired the cereal. See, this verse points out that same reality that I'm talking about. Fruit happens. It's the nature of things to bear fruit, to increase. As long as they are living, they will bear fruit of some kind. But Jesus wasn't just making a point about apples and oranges and trees. He was actually talking about humankind. And then he goes on to say in verse 34, "You brood of vipers, how can you or evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of." Jesus was talking about the fruit of our lives. So what am I getting at? Glad you asked. I'm just getting at the idea that you are powerful. You have more power than you realize. But because sometimes we're not fully aware of how powerful we are, we think that what we do doesn't matter. We think that what we say doesn't have repercussions. We think that our lives don't make a difference. And when we think like that, we can become just a little careless. And I'm guilty of it as much as anybody. I'm not trying to pick on any of you. I'm just trying to make you think about how powerful you are. See, if the enemy of our souls can make us think that what we say isn't important and what we do isn't important, then he can get us to buy into some of what he's selling. But we won't become less powerful. Rather, our power will be misused by him. Just a couple verses earlier in Matthew 12:30, it says, "Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters." When I'm in sync with Jesus, I am a powerful person for good. But when I'm out of sync, I'm still a powerful person. The reality is that I cannot avoid being powerful. So I can't sit back and do nothing, because nothing will bear fruit. Nothing will increase. If I'm sitting back and I'm not doing anything, what I'm doing is I'm undoing. And I'm creating a momentum the other direction. I'm not saying you can never relax. Okay, don't misunderstand. There is a place for a Sabbath. You know, you need to rest. I'm not talking about that. But sometimes, what is it that's been said many times? For evil to triumph, all that is required is for the good to do nothing. So sometimes I need to think to myself, how can I, and this goes back to what we spoke about last week, how can I shine? How can I bring the light that is in me? I am the light of the world, Jesus said. How can I let that flow out of me so that people, because my doing nothing doesn't decrease my power, it just puts my power on the wrong thing. I'm going to bear fruit. It's unavoidable. So the question is, what fruit do I want to bear? And am I aware that there may be a fruit, if you will, negative fruit, bad fruit, but there will be a fruit of me thinking that I don't matter, that I'm not important? Can you see this? Am I describing this right? I hope I'm getting this through to you, because I'm not trying to condemn anybody, by the way. Don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to condemn you, and I'm not trying to condemn me. But what I'm saying is, I need to recognize how powerful I am, because when I recognize how powerful that I am, then I can begin to aim that power in a direction that makes a difference for a world that Jesus died for. It was funny, I didn't have this in my notes and I didn't think about it. I wasn't planning it. And then I heard a message. And it was from some people who are out in a big church in California that you know that we kind of enjoy some of their messages. And it was a couple who had become, in their 30s, they had become missionaries, or maybe late 20s. Everything was going along fine for them. They were on good career paths. Everything was just going the way they wanted it to go. And then all of a sudden, boom, they heard the voice of God saying, go. And so they were like, okay, go where? They ended up in the Himalayan mountains, ministering to a bunch of Buddhists. Pretty cool. And they had to go in and they had to learn their culture and they had to learn their language and they had all this stuff that they had to do. But they had this go thing on them and they just felt like that was where they were supposed to go. So over the years they had gotten there and they had some other people come and visit them and they were showing them different places and they were able to go to this Buddhist monastery. And I did not know this, but if I understood what she said right, the person who was giving the testimony, I didn't know that Buddhists have nuns as well as guys. They've got ladies who do this, whatever they do. And she explained that what the Buddhists believe is that you're going to be reincarnated. And so they get really serious toward the end of their years. They get really serious about trying to figure out whether they've outweighed what the good that they've done has outweighed the bad. Because I understand it this way. If you're a Buddhist and you led a bad life, you're coming back as something not so nice. You might come back as a spider. Could be very short-lived. You might come back as a dog. And if you're a good dog, then you might come back as something else, later. And you just keep coming back until you get to being a human. And then when you've been a really, 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 really good human, then you get to come or stop coming back. I don't know how they figure it, But you got to be careful, because if your good didn't outweigh your bad, we talked about that a few weeks ago, how your good with God doesn't have to outweigh your bad and all that stuff. It's not a zero-sum game with God, and he's trying to figure out, making his list and checking it twice. So, this is the way. So they ran in, this lady takes these folks, and they've got little kids, and they've got, there's two families, and I think there were like five little kids, and they decide to go up to this mountain monastery just because it's pretty, and they wanted to show this family, and they were telling them what their ministry was like. And when they get there, they're just going to walk around. She says, just walk around for 10 minutes. We'll meet back here at the car, and then we'll, pray for 10 minutes. Just pray over this area. Let's intercede for it, and then we'll meet back at the car and get the kids home because the kids are getting tired and hungry. How many of you ever had kids get tired and hungry? Okay, you know what that's like. So that's what they did. They went out, and so the gal who was speaking, sharing the testimony, she walks by this nun, and she realizes that Holy Spirit speaks to her and says, go back and talk to her. She goes back, and she turns to go back, and as she walks up to the lady, she says, are you here to pray for my healing? Talk about an open door. And she prays for the lady's, forget the first thing. Anyway, she prays for this lady, and she instantly gets healed. And then the lady's so excited that she starts to make noise, and a crowd begins to gather, and she asks if she can pray for something else. And so she prays for that other thing, and that gets healed. And now people are gathering around, and they're wanting prayer for healing as well. And so the lady starts praying, and her team realizes, and they come over, and the next thing you know, the whole team is there for 5 hours praying for people. And they were very excited about it. And then they finally, got in their car and left. And they went to another meeting and a few days later. And they finally thought, well, we should share this testimony. And when they did, another missionary who was very, very old and had been working there for decades says, oh, I have been praying for that specific place my entire life. And the girl realized, I didn't do this. I didn't orchestrate this. I'm just walking around quietly praying, and I turn, go back to the woman, and she says, are you here for my healing? God was preparing the place. And that woman who had been praying for decades was powerful, but then they found out that another person in the Americas had also been praying for them in that place, for decades. And people who were not in any way connected to each other are all of a sudden talking about how the prayers were answered after years and years and years. At one point, you couldn't even go to that place if you weren't from that part of Tibet. But God had opened the doors. Through prayer, the doors had finally opened. Through prayer, things were prepared. Through prayer, this woman was ready. And then, boom, God shows up. You're powerful. You're powerful, and all the stuff that you do, your everyday life, is important, and you're amazing. And if you decide, I'm going to take whatever it is I'm doing, and I'm just going to add some of God's light to it, and I'm just going to release it to people, amazing things will happen through you. So when I get in the car, and I start heading somewhere, maybe I should put a sign in my car. Just thought about that. Sometimes I get in the car and I think, oh, I'm going to Menards. Wonder if I can bless anybody there. But, you know, maybe I should just put a sign in my car so when I'm getting out of the car, I see this sign that says, who can you go shine to in wherever I'm going? You know, how can I magnify God in everything that I do? How can what I do have the breath of God on it so that people look at it like we talked about the Queen of Sheba last week, and they glorify God because they see what's going on. I just wanted to follow up on last week's message and encourage you. I believe you can do it. And I believe God wants to do it through you. So, Father, bless your people. Inspire us, Lord. Inspire us by your goodness. Inspire us by your love. Inspire us by all the good things that you've done for us and through us and to us. And cause us to be ready to be used by you in every way, every day. Just let us magnify you. Let us shine your light. Let us let people know. And Lord, then the fruit that we bear, that powerful fruit, will be powerful in gathering people to you. And this we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.